Broadcasting live from the Business Radio X studios in Phoenix, Arizona, it's time for Phoenix Business Radio, spotlighting the city's best businesses and the people who lead them.
Good afternoon. This is Jody Lowe with the Leadership Lowdown, powered by You and Improved. The Leadership Lowdown is a radio series dedicated to shining a spotlight on business leaders and sharing the real stories behind their rise to the top, as well as the truth about what it really takes to succeed in life and business. And we are here to uncover these leaders' journeys, whether that be the pitfalls, the victories, of course, all the heartaches and triumphs in between. And today, I am so happy to be sitting across the room from two of my dear friends and people I love dearly, Mr. Chris Scharfner. He is here.
Hello, thank you.
Chris is the CEO of C&J Professional Cleaning Services. And then next to him, of course, is Dean Cotrice. He is the CEO of Power Promotions. So welcome.
Thank you. Happy to be here.
Yeah, glad to have you both here. So what I'd love to do is start chatting a little bit with you, Chris, and then, of course, love to hear from Dean as well. But you have quite a business, my friend.
Yeah. I mean, you know, if cleaning toilets is considered a business, I mean, sure. Yeah, absolutely.
Well, you are very humble, my friend, for all of your accomplishments. I've had the pleasure of knowing Chris for about a year or so now, I think.
Yeah,
I think
it's been about that long.
Yeah.
And I'm sorry.
No, are you kidding me? It's been my joy. And you make me laugh continually, which is my favorite part of it. And you're obviously very, very humble for your accomplishments. You started C&J, it's been like 15 years ago, is that right?
14 years ago this month. The only reason why I knew is because I got blown up on LinkedIn with people congratulating me.
There you go.
I don't really pay attention to it. But yeah 14 years now of serving the community.
Absolutely. That's awesome. Yeah. So can you tell us how this whole thing happened? Because I'm sure it did not start with, as you love to say, cleaning toilets.
No, it did not. That was not my dream, I have to be honest. And no, so after my military days, I became a stockbroker at Merrill Lynch. A lot of people don't know that, which was just boring. And I hated it. I really did. And so I got into the commercial collections industry. I was a sales guy. I was kicking butt and taking names. And I was really having a good time at my job, even though some people consider it a scummy industry. It's really not. Until my CEO told me I made too much money, which I really didn't think was possible in sales.
Yeah.
So if you're listening, pay your salespeople, please. Or they'll leave and start a company.
Right.
No. And so he told me I made too much money, cut my compensation by 38%, and I quit.
Wow.
And so I took $500 and I opened this company. That was 14 years ago.
Oh my gosh. Wow. So how did that feel? Was it exciting, scary, like D all of the above?
Yeah. It was kind of like a train coming right at you in your lane and you can't turn.
Yeah.
No, it was exciting, but also very scary. I mean, I think anytime you start something new, you don't understand the pitfalls and you're kind of learning as you go.
Yeah.
And it was pretty scary, especially, you know, most people that have a normal occupation, they depend on that paycheck and it's X amount of dollars. And
right. That
doesn't happen when you start a business, as you well know.
Yep.
It was a little scary.
Yeah. And what made you pick, of all things, commercial cleaning? Did you have a background or did you know somebody? Or
I knew no one. I don't have a background in it, and which is ironic enough. I was going to open a gym because I love to work out.
I couldn't tell.
And then I, it's just the shirt. It's custom made.
There you go.
No. And then I realized that there's a lot of big players out there that I probably would never be able to compete with. The Mountainside Fitnesses, LA Fitnesses in this area. And so I said, okay, I'm going to nix that idea unless I want to be in debt for the next 10 years.
Right.
And so I thought about the cleaning industry. It's a $5 billion a year industry. Okay. A lot of people don't know that. It's a service-oriented industry that you find a need and you fill it. There's not going to be a time where you're not going to need someone to clean.
Sure.
So essentially, I said, okay, you know what? Let's try this thing out and see how it goes. And so I did all of my licensing and things like that. And so I would go and sell in the daytime and go back and clean myself at nighttime.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, that's exactly what I did.
I love that. And if I remember reading correctly, you had it kind of made from all of your academics and athleticism. I mean, you had sort of a ticket to go to college and all these different things, but you chose a different path.
Yeah. You know, that's what happens when you have a crazy mom. She pushes you to your limits. And I was straight A student. I graduated number 3 out of 1,262 students.
Wow.
It was a very big school. I'm from Chicago. And so, yes, my senior year, I received a academic scholarship to Purdue.
Wow.
As well as a basketball scholarship full ride to Xavier. But in my sophomore year of high school, I signed up for the United States Air Force in what's called the Delayed Enlistment Program. I'm all about commitment. So when I commit to something, I do it. I could have gotten out of it, but you know what? I said, you know what? Let's see what this military thing's all about. So I stayed with it, and I'm happy that I am.
Yeah. How did you feel in the moment, though, turning that down? Was that a big decision?
Oh, like an idiot.
Yeah,
of course. I'm like, what are you doing, dude? You know, you love playing basketball. You know, you're a smart kid. What are you doing? No, I thought that it was probably the best thing for me at the time. You know, if I had to do it over again, I may do it the same way. I just may have maybe change things up just a little bit. Mm-hmm. But I'm happy with the decision I made.
Yeah. Well, I'm sure. And you were the guy jumping out of airplanes or something crazy?
Yeah, I was that idiot. So basically how it happened is I scored really high on my ASVAB test. That's a military aptitude test.
Okay.
So I had all these jobs to choose from. So I chose the radio operations, thinking, you know, it'd be cool, you know. And I ended up going to my permanent duty station at the time, which was Barksdale in Shreveport, Louisiana. And I was asked by, at the time, the base commander, General Young, to be in a program on a volunteer basis. I did not know that program was going to be pararescue. Pararescue is a very, very hard program. It's mentally, physically grueling. It's bad. So basically what pararescue is when airborne rangers or SEALs need an extraction, they need someone a little bit crazier than them to come get them.
Whoa.
And that would be me.
So that's like nothing compared to today, right?
Oh, yeah. Now I clean toilets. Right. So you see how that went.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh. So when you get out of the military, that's when you went to Merrill?
Correct.
Okay. And yes. Then it was onto the collections. And then?
Yes. And then onto this glorious thing. Yeah.
There you go. Okay. So you start C&J. First of all, what's the name? What's the story behind the name?
Well, I'm C.
Right.
I'm Chris. Everyone always asks who J is. There is no J. It was actually literally the first letter that I came to that didn't sound stupid.
Are you serious?
I'm dead serious.
It wasn't for Jody?
No.
Oh,
I'm sorry. If I had known you at the time, you know.
Maybe.
You could have bought it for probably 5 cents at the time.
Oh my gosh. I love it. So There's absolutely no story.
There's no story there.
So funny. Yeah, and there is no J.
No.
Oh my gosh.
No J.
That's great. C and J. No J. I love it. Oh my gosh. So day one, you decide this is what you're doing. You've got your company name. Tell us what you did. Like, how did you get this off the ground?
So then I would go, and all day long, I would go and I would knock on doors and I would give free estimates.
Okay.
Okay. And then at nighttime, I'd get all my stuff and I'd go back and I would just clean. And I always tried not to worry about money. If you take care of your clients, the money will come. I don't care what you do. If you service the hell out of your clients, the money will come.
Yep.
And so I did that and did that, and it kind of grew exponentially and to the point where I had to hire somebody.
Okay.
Well, I was an idiot and I hired college kids, and I couldn't figure out why they wouldn't come to work Friday night or Saturday. And yeah, I found out real quick they liked the party.
Okay.
Well, then I started to educate myself and go to some seminars, read some books and do some things that would further my personal education.
Awesome.
In my industry.
That's great.
Yeah.
And what were some of the books that you read or?
Oh man, I couldn't even tell you. I mean, I picked up anything that had anything to do with business management or learning employees or self-awareness.
Yep.
I tell you, you know, you'd be surprised how much you learn about other people when you're self-aware.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You know, I learned a lot about my strengths and weaknesses.
Yep.
What I'm good at and what I'm definitely not good at.
Right.
And I found out that I am extremely good at time management and logistics.
Okay.
I did not realize that until after I read a few books.
Interesting. Yeah. So you learn a little bit about yourself during that process.
Yeah.
Awesome.
It helps to be OCD.
Right. That's why those toilets are sparkling.
Absolutely. That's right.
That's awesome. And so you started out, you were knocking on doors, doing estimates, and
yes.
then you knew commercial was what you wanted to do, obviously.
You know, it's funny you asked that. We originally did both residential and commercial.
Mm-hmm.
So on the days that I wasn't marketing, mm-hmm. I was cleaning residential homes.
Oh, wow.
And that got out of control. We got to about 350 homes, which if you clean them twice a month, that's 700 cleanings a month. Well, if you have a few of those reschedule, or somebody forgets that they left their dog out, or, oh my God, I didn't leave you a key. It's a nightmare to reschedule those folks.
Sure.
It really is. So I wanted to concentrate on the commercial side. So I literally gave the residential side to four ladies that work. Here you go. You guys can take it all.
Wow.
And I concentrated on the commercial and industrial side of the business.
Wow. And so that piece of your business is no longer.
No longer. We no longer service residential at all.
Got it.
How many commercial do you have?
we clean a little over 1.7 million square feet a night.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, there's a lot of toilets out there.
So I think the OCD is also coupled with a work ethic that's off the charts. Am I getting that from you?
Yeah. You know, it used to be 18-hour days and that kind of thing. You know, now everybody, they make fun of me now because I take naps in the middle of the daytime. I work out twice a day. It's a different ball game now. But
right.
The work ethic was definitely there, and you have to put your time in.
Right. Well, now you have the luxury of that for putting in the hours then. That's how
correct.
It works.
Yeah. I have a couple of more employees now.
Yeah. Exactly. How many employees, by the way?
107.
Wow. It's a big team. Yeah. And how many of those are like in the field actually doing the cleaning?
I have 22 administrative staff or salespeople. Mm-hmm. The rest of those folks are actually out there either cleaning, quality control, area managers, whatever the case may be. So we're spread out between Arizona, New Mexico, and El Paso, Texas.
Well, you must do good work and take good care of your people if you can trust them enough to work out twice a day and take naps during the day. You've got some good people.
I'll tell you, if you build your infrastructure right, just make sure you plug the right people into the right position.
Yeah,
is the best advice that I could give any business owner.
That's awesome. And did you, kind of going through all of these early days as an entrepreneur, did you have a mentor or someone that you looked up to or learned from?
You know, I kind of did a buffet style, so to speak. I would see somebody doing something well, mm-hmm. and I would take that piece.
Okay.
You know, because not everybody does everything well.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I know some brilliant doctors and they're horrible business people.
Sure.
But they treat their staff really well.
Right.
Okay, so I take that piece. I know some people that, man, they can't break even. Okay, they're scrounging every week because mm-hmm. they're horrible managers of money. But man, they really do have a niche and they study that niche and they service the hell out of their clients.
Right. Right.
Okay, I'll take that.
Yeah.
So it was really a buffet style of how to mold myself into being the best business person that I can be.
That's perfect.
So.
And were your parents business owners or did you have any of that entrepreneurial spirit
from
them?
Oh, no. They're paycheck people. They're actually paycheck to paycheck people.
Uh-huh.
You know, I know a lot of us that know people like that.
Yeah.
You know, they're hand to mouth for some reason and they always will be. Mm-hmm. And I don't live that way.
Right.
Yeah.
You made a different choice.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, usually that's the way. It's either following in the footsteps in a positive way
right. Or
saying, hey, you know what? I want to make
a
different choice.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Was there any piece of advice that anyone gave you along the way that you're like, oh, that's the thing that I've always fallen back to or something?
Oh, man. I mean, I've had so much advice from so many people along the years, just pulling me aside and saying, hey, listen, you know, make sure if you do something, do it right.
Right.
If you're going to do a job, then make sure that, you know, you do 100% of the job, not 99%.
Right.
You know, never oversell yourself. Don't write checks with your mouth that essentially your ass can't cover.
Right.
You know, just different things, you know, and I'll tell you, there's a lot of people out there in business that do it for the money and they do it wrong because they don't do it the whole way through.
Mm-hmm.
I don't do that. I want to do it. I don't think about the money. I don't think about anything like that. I mean, I have clients where I don't make any money, but I learned something from those clients and the service that I give those clients is my paycheck.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
That's awesome. So, I love it. And now, I mean, you've obviously made it to the top. You're a huge success. When you look back, are there things that you're like, oh, wish I would have done that differently?
Monday morning quarterback, right?
Yeah.
Man, there's probably 1,000 things that I wish I had done differently.
Yeah.
You know, but you live and you learn, and would I be the same person today? Some of the major things I wish I had done was probably educate myself a little bit sooner.
Mm-hmm.
I wish,
you say that, do you mean about your industry?
About my industry.
Okay.
I wish that I had maybe crossed some T's and dotted some I's a little earlier on.
Yeah.
I think what happens is we get so excited about our idea and we take off and we start to get customers and we spend so much time working in our business that we don't spend any time working on our business.
Right.
And it really is the defining factor between if you're going to be working 60 or 70 hours a week for the rest of your life, or if you're going to let that business work and you're only working 10 hours a week, like me.
Mm-hmm.
It really is a deciding factor. When you start a business, you need to decide, do you want to work in your business or on your business?
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah. And was there a day or a time you were able to make that conscious shift? Or
about 4.5 years ago, I took off. I didn't tell anybody I was leaving and I went to Maui for a month. Yeah. And no one knew I was gone. And I don't think they cared, to be honest with you, which was great.
So do you attribute that to just having found amazing leadership? within your organization that you could really rely on?
I do. And processes and procedures in place, building an infrastructure. You know, I learned something from a guy a long time ago, and he said, you have to be able to trust your people to make a mistake. At the time, it made no sense to me. Mm-hmm. Said, why would I let them make a mistake? That's just stupid when I can prevent it. Well, you can't prevent all mistakes. And if you want to be able to have time to spend some of the money that you're making, then you need to have people that you can trust to make that mistake.
Yep.
And I took that to heart as I got older. And now I trust the people that work for me to make those mistakes. It's kind of like, you know, when you have a child and you say, okay, I want to protect them from everything. Well, you can't protect your kid from everything.
Yeah.
They're going to stub their toe. They're going to go out there and make a bad decision.
Right.
It's how you deal with it afterwards.
Sure.
Yeah.
Sure. Well, and speaking of kiddos, you have a few.
I have a few.
Yeah. Is it three?
I have three girls. I'm a very proud dad. My oldest daughter will be graduating University of Wisconsin at Whitewater in May.
Nice.
And then off to grad school. She's been accepted to Wisconsin and to ASU.
Nice.
My middle girl is
studying?
I'm sorry?
What's she studying?
Oh, that's a mouthful. She's way smarter than me. So she's studying global economic sustainability with an emphasis in water and a minor in Spanish.
Whoa.
I don't know what the hell that is.
Spanish water.
It sounds like she's trying to say third world countries, one glass of water at a time. I don't know. But
wow.
She's very, very smart. So she's been to Guatemala twice and she's been to Peru once, all on grants. I haven't had to pay any money. So it's great.
That's amazing. Yeah. My
middle girl, she's a sophomore at Ole Miss.
Okay.
Studying nursing.
Nice.
And my youngest girl who looks, I don't know, she's 5'8 and she's 11. And she plays club volleyball, goes to West Wing. And yeah, she's awesome. She's got the whole package.
Yeah.
She's got the brain. She's got the athletics. Yeah, she's rocking it.
So are they all daddy's girls?
They're all daddy's girls.
Yeah.
They're all daddy's girls.
Oh, I love it.
Yeah, the conversations we have, I said, I can't believe I just told my oldest daughter to make the first move.
Right.
Did I really just do that?
Yeah,
but you know, I don't lie to my kids. I don't BS them. I shoot them straight all the time. They know what I expect. You know, I'm a hard dad, but I'm a fair dad.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's awesome. Yeah. That's awesome. So, you know, I know a little bit, obviously, knowing you, but I know that you have a passion for obviously spending time with your family. You've got many dear friendships. What makes you just come alive?
Honestly, and I never believed that I would be the guy to say this. Another gentleman, Mr. Arnolf, long time ago, I spent a lot of time with him, helping him refurbish his home after his wife died. She always wanted him to refurbish the house. He was taking care of her as she was dying, never got around to the house. So when she died, he refurbished the house. I thought that was very endearing. And, you know, he would pull me aside and give me little gems and he'd tell me things. And just the wisdom that you pick up from people that have been around the world is priceless. Mm-hmm. It really, really is. And it's shaped who I am as a person.
Mm-hmm.
And my main goal now is not the next dollar. It's not the next client. It's how can I help and give back? I'm not a teacher, but I understand why teachers do what they do.
Mm-hmm.
I used to think like, oh my God, you're going to teach for $36,000 a year and the kids hate you and the parents hate you and you got to, you know, you're putting in 80 hours a week. What the hell is wrong with you?
Right.
I get it. Because you have an overwhelming sense to help somebody other than yourself. And if you can just change one person's life, then it's worth it.
Yes.
So now I give back in the form of time, energy, effort, donations, big brothers, big sisters. I'm on the board for the Better Business Bureau. I'm on the board for Arizona Business Leadership, Executive Association of Greater Phoenix. I donate time to food banks. I mean, you name it, you know, because I'm not working that 80 hours a week doesn't mean I'm not doing something.
Yep. Yeah.
You know, so my big thing that lights me up is giving back and being able to help people and put them in a different situation, better yet, in a different frame of mind.
I love it.
So that's
I love
awesome.
It. Well, and everything from the moment I met you, it's this gigantic teddy bear with this amazing heart. And that's really what stands out to me.
Oh, come on. You're totally ruining my street credit.
Sorry.
I got to leave here and drive home, you know?
Yeah. Well, I wanted to ask you, so I have this love affair with this show, which at this point, I don't even know if it's on the air anymore, but it's called Inside the Actor's Studio.
Okay.
Are you familiar with the show at all? Have you
I'm
ever
not.
Seen it?
Okay. I'm not.
So at the end of this show, they ask every guest the same 10 questions.
Okay.
And these 10 questions originated from a French TV talk show originally. And I just find it fascinating and love to hear people's answers. So
fair enough.
I thought I'd shoot.
Is this like a rapid fire deal?
It kind of is.
Oh, I like it. Let's do it.
Okay.
Let's do it. Let's get some honesty going.
Perfect. Okay.
I love it.
Okay, Chris, what is your favorite word?
shit.
I love it. I love the truth.
It's true.
So what's your least favorite word?
This is probably a phrase.
Okay.
I can't. I don't want to hear that shit.
Yeah. We don't allow that in my house either. I'm with you. So what turns you on, whether that's creatively, spiritually, or emotionally?
What turns me on? What does it for me? I would have to say that what really does it for me would be to see the impact that you had on somebody's life. Awesome. You don't normally see that now, but you do see it later.
Yep.
That does it for me.
So then what turns you off?
Oh, man. Just negative attitudes. People that, you know, if you know, in my company, and this may sound bad, but if I hear the phrase, "That's not my job," you're fired right now. Right now.
Interesting.
If I hear that phrase, you're gone. It's always your job. I don't care what it is. If I'll do it, then you damn sure better do it.
Awesome. Well, and you were the one cleaning at night and yeah.
And I'll, don't get me wrong. I'll get down and clean a toilet in this suit. I will.
Yep.
Absolutely.
Yep.
Damn straight.
Love that about you. Love it. So what sound or noise do you love?
I love the sound of water.
Oh, awesome.
Waterfalls, anything with water. I love the ocean. Yeah.
Awesome.
I'm a Pisces.
There you go. Well, so, water baby. Go. Water baby. And what sound or noise do you hate?
Ooh, there's a lot of annoying noises out there. I would probably say it's not a sound. It's more just constant complaining.
Yeah.
I hate to hear people complain.
Yeah.
It's like, shut up, dude. if you just do it and spend less time bitching about it, it'd be done already.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. There you go. What's your favorite curse word? We might have already covered this.
Shit.
I think we got that one. So what profession other than your own would you like to attempt?
You know, no one's ever asked me that before.
And
since you're a friend, I'll be honest with you. I am currently in the middle of writing children's books.
Are you really?
I'm dead serious.
Awesome.
They may never be published. I don't know. Who knows? But I'm literally in the middle of writing children's books. They're life oriented with a funny twist on it.
Of course.
Yeah.
Oh, I love it. I love it. So what profession would you not like to do?
Ooh, that stockbroker thing was rough.
Yeah. Not going back.
But you know, there's something that's worse than that I've done.
Mm-hmm.
I would never, ever, ever, ever. I would rather pick up elephant shit than be a restaurant manager.
Interesting.
I'm telling you right. It's the worst job ever. I'm sorry.
Really?
Yes.
Just managing all of the chaos.
Yes. Mm-mm. It's just too much. You got to deal with people that are not happy at their job and customers that come in and their expectations aren't realistic. I mean, and I'm one of those people.
Right.
It's just too much.
Yeah.
It's too much.
Interesting. I love it.
And you have to work nights and weekends all the time.
Which is no fun.
No.
Yeah. Who wants to do that? So if heaven exists, what would you like to hear God say when you arrive at the pearly gates?
Honestly,
mm-hmm.
I totally expect to hear, not this motherfucker. I totally expect to hear that. Like, seriously, you got in? I got to check my record.
Oh my God. I adore you, my friend. You are so real and such a big heart. Thank you so much for playing and spending time and being here today. I think your story is not only fascinating, but it is, you lead from the heart, and that's everything that I believe and love, and it's what I certainly love about you most. So thank you for being here.
Well, thanks for having me. This is awesome.
Awesome.
I'll do this anytime.
Cool. You can come back anytime. It's an open invitation. And I was going to kind of talk with this guy here. Yeah. Are you able to stay as we talk a little bit with Dean?
Yeah. Can I hang out?
You can hang out. You can ask questions.
I was going to go get a haircut.
Yeah.
Which is total bullshit because I'm bald.
Yeah. For our listeners, I am sitting across from two very handsome bald gentlemen. And it's sort of a bald-headed competition.
Yeah. I'd love to hang.
Okay. Awesome.
I may refer to you for some answers after other.
That's okay.
Yeah.
Phone a friend.
Yeah. There you
Absolutely.
Go. Phone a friend.
I'll be a lifeline.
I love it. So Dean Cottries, who lives in Las Vegas and actually Henderson, technically. And so you've got an interesting story as well. So as it were, right? So tell us a little bit and tell our listeners a little bit about your business, which is Power Promotion.
We service businesses all over the country. Predominantly casinos is what we focus on. Mm-hmm. I love casinos, even though I hate gambling. I'm in casinos every week or meeting with casinos every week.
Which is interesting, being from born and raised in Las Vegas. This is the guy that has like zero vices, which is just kind of funny. Like there's no gambling, there's no, you know, drugs and drinking, all the things that you kind of associate with the Sin City. So interesting. Yeah. So casinos.
Yeah. And now we're in 30 states across the country and we service about 175 casinos.
And what is it that you specifically do for them?
We do their giveaways.
Okay.
Everything to get the casino player in, which would not work on me because I have no desire to really get in there.
Yep.
So it's funny. And I don't wear logoed wear, and I do both those things for businesses across the country.
So all the things that you don't do for yourself right. is what you sell to others, obviously,
right.
the industry, though.
So kind of like Chris. He does not want to clean his own toilet, but he'll clean somebody else's yep. and pay
exactly.
someone to clean it.
So right. So right.
How it works. Right. How it works. So tell us how you got started in this crazy field, because I know there's a great backstory.
Oh, man. I was in the hotel business working, and one of my friends, Devin, said, "You want to sell some t-shirts?" And I said, "I have no idea what that means." He goes, "Well, give me $300 and we'll start the business and I'll explain." And at the time, I was in my 20s and I'm like, $300? Are you kidding me?
That's a lot of cash.
But after I invested that $300, my goal was to get the $300 back
right.
that I was not going to lose,
right.
period. I don't know what that meant to win, but I was not going to lose $300.
Sure.
And we printed some t-shirts. And at the time, he had another job, a limo driver. So he was making cash. And I'm like, dude, I need the $300 back. So we got to figure out how to get some t-shirts rolling. So I printed some t-shirts. My first t-shirt at the time was, I saw Miracle on 34th Street. So I'm like, hey, I had an idea. Let's print I Believe on the front, Santa's Coming to Town on the back. Printed those up. And I was, at the time in Vegas, they were going to, they had a lot of street vendors. I'm going to go sell these. It's right around Christmas or Thanksgiving. I open up, I bring a duffel bag, and put it out in front of the Excalibur. And I'm like, no, I'm not doing this.
So you lasted one day as a street vendor.
Day is stretching. I lasted about 10 minutes and I'm like, I'm out.
You're like, this is not for me.
Now I have more than $300 in because I also bought t-shirts and printed them. So I'm like, oh, I got to really hustle.
Oh my gosh.
And so the next day I started, which was right after Thanksgiving, started hitting some businesses. So I went to some banks, went to some casinos, and I ended up selling, at the time, I thought it was a huge order, like 200 dozen t-shirts of this, I Believe, and Santa's Coming to Town on the back. And it was a horrible design, but they're like, oh my God, I love it. And I'm like, okay. So I had some customers.
So you just walk into a bank and you just walked up to ask who's in charge.
The manager.
Yeah.
Hey, I thought this would be really cool for your staff to wear during the holidays instead of on Friday casual day. You guys want to do this? And then I went to a couple of casinos and talked to the HR department.
Love
I'm like,
it.
Yeah, we love it. Can we order 12 dozen? And yep, give me the sizes.
Oh my gosh.
And I'm like, okay.
Here
and then
go.
I had to buy more shirts and I was like, oh my gosh. I'm into this thing $1,000.
Right.
I need
a-
So,
oh my gosh.
So then I got my first big casino. I was walking through Boulder Station.
Mm-hmm.
I went to see a different movie, and they had steps on the ground walking out of the theater that says, I Believe in Santa, to take you over to where you can take a picture with Santa. I'm like, oh, this is my customer. Like, I'm going to get them. So I pick up a house phone and ask for the marketing manager. And Susan Ryder was her name. She picks up the phone. I'm like, hey, I got some shirts for you. She goes, yeah. She goes, come up. And I get up in the elevator. She goes, I like them. She goes, what kind of prices? And then she goes, hey, well, while you're here, price out this. I need 1,000 denim shirts, 2,000 hats, 1,000 sweatshirts, some blah, blah, blah. Gives me the whole list. I go, at the time, and this was a while ago, fax machines. I go, when you wake up in the morning, I'll have, check your fax. It'll be here. That's what I would do. Like you cleaned.
Oh, yeah.
You sold during the day. I'd go sell during the day and then do up bids at night. And my thing was, when you wake up, it'll be on your fax machine. And so then she calls me at like 8:30. I'm like, hey, how are you? Go, you got the fax? She goes, yeah. You got a piece of paper? And she's like, okay, I need 100 medium, 100, 200 small, blah, blah, and she gives me a $50,000 order.
Oh my gosh.
Which I did not know how I was going to buy the stock again.
Yeah, you're like, hold on, I'm still $1,000 in and now I'm going to come up with 50 grand.
Oh my gosh.
Oh my gosh.
So that was my first big order. And now Station Casinos is a really good customer of mine. And then
all these years later.
Here we are. Wow. I was in the 90s.
Wow, wow, wow. And casinos are obviously the biggest part of your business, but you work with other types of businesses as well.
Yep. Awesome. Business to business.
Okay.
Yep. Just like Chris, I do not want residential. I do not want your team of 12 because I don't want to deal with everything he talked about is relevant to the shirt and promotional business.
Yeah. And how did you grow it? Because obviously you started just by going in door to door and doing that. Is that what you continue to do or was there some...
Every week.
Yeah.
Still do it. Still love it. Cold call.
Yep.
I don't want to, I don't need a referral because most of the time it's too slow of a pace.
Yep.
So got out of the business for a while, got back into, it wasn't when I started that first store, it was not Power Promotions. 7 years ago, had one casino out of state in Washington where I was last night in Muckleshoot. And then I'm like, okay, I got to grow this thing. Started coming to Arizona, got Gila River. And then when you wait for referrals, you're working on their pace. And I want to work on my pace. So I just...
There seems to be a common theme between the two of you.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
We wait for no one.
So I would just get online and pick an area. Go, okay, I'm going to New York. I'm going to California and get the 800 numbers and set up calls and appointments and get in a car and drive and fly and
just do your
still
thing.
Do it. So that's awesome. That's how in... well, so 6 years. The first year I wasn't out of state.
Now you're all over the country.
175 casinos. Yeah.
That's awesome. So. And when you started, obviously it's now a multi-million-dollar business starting from, you know, on the corner of
$300.
Yeah, exactly. $300
looks good about now, doesn't it?
Now you're like, huh.
That was a good investment.
Yeah. That was the best $300 ever.
Exactly. Who, when you were starting out, did you have any mentors or any people that kind of gave you great advice along the way?
You know, Barry, I was listening to the Chris's story. A lot of it is even, as you know, I do leadership development training and people ask me, so you're a motivational speaker and no, I'm a more motivational listener because it's more about what you hear than what you say. And similar to what Chris was saying, it's about taking nuggets from each person, figuring out what works for you and then duplicating that.
Was there any particular piece of advice that like stood out or not really? It was just certain nuggets from different people.
Just the one big piece of advice is make sure your decision's duplicatable. Mm-hmm. So anytime there's a situation at work with a coworker, someone's asking me, can you do this? Mm-hmm. If the answer is, can I duplicate it for the next person to ask me, then it's a good decision. Mm-hmm. If I can't duplicate it, I'm going to make you a special exception. Mm-hmm. No. Mm-hmm.
Well, and I do know you're sort of known it were the yes guy when it comes to any of your clients. Can you do this? Yes. Can you do this? Yes. It's always a yes. And you figure out how is what I've always heard. So,
yes. Yeah. That is one of my, when I'm in front of clients, I didn't fly all this way to tell you no.
Or to hear a no, probably. Yeah, absolutely.
So they go, can you do it? Yes. Because we focus a lot on custom made things. So whatever they want, the answer is yes. And then we figure out how to do it.
Yeah.
Yeah. It just happened today. Last night I was in, I was in Vegas on Monday night with Palma Casino. I was in Tuesday in Seattle with Muckleshoot. Last night I was in Oregon with A&A. Then I got a text today. Can you do these sets? And I don't have them made yet. I'm like, yes. So I send that text to my assistant, who's amazing. Said, okay, figure this out because I already said yes and I'm getting this order because it's really big.
Just say yes and figure it out later. It's pretty much,
right. Yeah. Don't tell me no because I told them yes.
Right. Right. I love it. I love it. And so obviously it's never smooth sailing, building a business or starting anything,
no.
if you will. What was the most difficult thing that you went through or endured as you've been, you know, building your career?
Divorce.
Yeah, there's a common theme of that among the both of us.
That's a game changer.
Yeah. Yeah.
But it really, it helped because at the time before that, I was only doing Vegas casinos.
Okay.
So then I sold the business. Then I got back in 5 years ago and started talking to people that bought my business because I was in this divorce thing and said, hey, I'm going to come back in. They're like, yeah, but all your accounts are given away. Even though they took my big business and cut it that they bought those same clients down to 20% of what I was doing, they wouldn't give me back the clients of service. So I'm like, okay, that's all of Vegas. I got to get out of state and figure this out.
Time to go elsewhere.
So now I have two big bags that I bring samples with and If I ever rename my business, it's going to be called Two Bags, not Five Guys, Two Bags. I tell all my brand, now the brand names come to me, whether it's Tefal or Cuisinart or Hamilton Beach, and hey, we want to get some of your business. I'm like, then I need something special. Like, what do you mean? I'm not bringing something that everyone can get. You got to make it in the bag.
Oh, so the goal is to be in the bag.
You got
to
get in the bag.
Got to get in the bag.
You got to get the bag. Like Diddy says, you got to get the bag. You got to get it in the bag.
Yeah, get in the bag.
So, okay. And they're like, well, we can't do something special. Then you're not in the bag. It took Tefal, the big pots and pan manufacturer, mm-hmm. till January of this year to get in the bag.
Oh my gosh.
So it took them 2 years. And like the vice president would, and like, we want some of your business. I'm like, you're not giving me anything special. You're not getting in the bag.
Right. I'm not going to be just a sales rep for your line.
So finally, got in the bag. And since January, we've moved hundreds of thousands of dollars of Tefal because they got the bag.
That's great. I love it. Go. I like Two Bags. Got a ring. It's got a ring to it.
Yeah.
And now that you've had all of this success, when you look back, are there things that you say, man, I wish I would have done that differently or I didn't do that?
I would have got on a plane sooner and got out of my comfort zone mm-hmm. and traveled more. Mm-hmm. And just really, people, sales reps, as Chris probably knows, they hate cold calling. So I've changed that whole mindset because I love to cold call. And I was just with my clients last night it's not cold calling. We do not cold call. We hunt. We hunt new clients and we hunt POs. Mm-hmm. People will pay to hunt. Okay. But they hate cold calling. So you are hunting.
Right.
It's the same exact thing. You are hunting that order until you get that purchase order from that casino. So, and if they have that mentality and they want to become hunters, that's a sport. Mm-hmm. Then they like it. Mm-hmm. So I hunt POs and I hunt casinos all over the country.
It's a cool way to look at it. You know, I always just look at it like I'm having a conversation. Are you selling me something? Nope.
Nope. Yep.
Don't want to sell you anything.
Right. But I want to do business.
Just want to talk to you.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
I love it. Really create a relationship. That's what is the biggest thing. I don't like it when people are just bidding out. It doesn't energize me. I don't like it. I don't care what the numbers are. Mm-hmm. There's a big casino in California that you can't talk to marketing. You can't synergize with them. Mm-hmm. You can't get creative.
You're kind of a people person.
Yeah. Well, I don't do business with them. I don't care what your numbers are. I'm not going to waste my time to go down there to just throw numbers at the wall.
And not be able to build a relationship.
No. And to create custom products that you know your client. I can say, yes. Can you do this? Can you change that? Can you package this? Yes. Mm-hmm. But if I can't have the opportunity to say yes to them, it's mm-hmm. not fun.
Right.
And I'm at this point where if I'm not having fun, I'm not going there.
Right. Right. Well, speaking of fun, you are a guy that likes to have some fun. I think that's another fun commonality between the two of you. There's a fun factor.
Fun.
And you are a single dad, 4 kids. Yes. You are amazing and beautiful and so sweet. When you look at them, are there things that you say, my gosh, you know, if I could teach them one thing, like, do you have some
gratitude?
Over? Yeah.
Gratitude. I hope I live long enough to see the gratitude come out of their pores.
Good luck with that, dude.
Yeah.
Right? You know, that's the biggest thing is not just gratitude for what we provide them as parents, mm-hmm. Between me and their mom, just the love, support, everything, but just gratitude for the opportunities.
Yeah.
Chris and I were talking in the green room, if you will, just about how in this country, there's a lot of things to be thankful for.
Yep.
You know, I mean, with all the stuff and crazy in politics, but people still have the right to stand up and say their opinion. Mm-hmm. In other countries, they don't.
Yep.
Just gratitude.
That's for sure. And so when you're, obviously, you've got your kids, you know, 50% of the time,
right.
And you're on the road a lot. So what are the things that you just love the most that, like I asked Chris, what are the things that make you just come alive? Like, what do you love?
Personally?
Yeah.
Personally, I mean, just traveling, playing with my kids, whether it's on the soccer field, because as you know, I travel a lot for soccer, which is almost as much as business.
Right.
And then, and just connecting with people, whether it's my kids, the people on the sideline that I become friends with in soccer, and the parents or my customers.
Awesome. Yeah. Awesome. And you like to have some fun and adventurous too.
Such as?
I don't know. You tell me. What's the most adventurous thing you've ever done?
Well, she's going somewhere, dude.
I was getting led.
This is not just a regular road. She's been down this
I
road.
I know. I'm not leading you anyway.
You
I just know
something.
That
I don't know what it is.
I know you like to have a lot of fun and you are not fearful of anything. So if you think back, like, what's the most adventurous thing?
I can tell you this. My staff did buy me a skydiving thing and I did not do it.
Uh-huh.
I am not
adventurous. Come on, man.
I was
Oh my God. Rick, you're sitting next to a parachuter.
That's why I brought that up. I was like,
I had to practice 750 times. That was practice.
Oh my right.
God. That does not include combat jumps.
You know, because prior to that, the summer before, I was invincible up until a few years ago. I was
one fateful July 10th,
right?
If I remember correctly. Yes.
And I had rented a house for July for my staff and myself at the beach in Dana Point. So my kids were coming out like July 7th, and I was going to get the house ready. So I bought two skim boards, and I got the pads on them. I got them all ready. We are going to learn how to skimboard. So the night before July 9th, we were in the afternoon doing it. Then July 10th, pack some lunch. They're already at the beach. I go out there. I'm like, I just need to commit. I need to go all in. I'm going to run and jump on this board. And I jumped on that board with everything I got and then slid my right foot off the back. And it looked like Gordon Hayward's ankle. Oh. It was facing the wrong direction and it was not under my foot. Mm. So then after that day, I'm like, I am not jumping from a plane. That's all I need.
Like, I'm still a dad with four kids.
I think my staff wants to kill me because after that, they've purchased skydiving for me. They purchased race car driving with me. I'm like, is there a theme here? Like,
what do you knock him off.
You got to give out bigger bonuses. Yeah, exactly. They're trying to kill you. Can I tell you a secret?
Yeah.
I'm afraid of heights. Right. I'm dead serious.
Really?
Oh, dead serious.
A parachuter afraid
I have
of
been
heights?
My entire life.
Interesting.
Dead serious.
Yeah. So what? Feel the fear and just do it anyway?
Pretty much.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
I mean, what's I the worst that could happen?
Once you're out of the air, then you it doesn't feel like the same. Like you're just floating, right?
No, you're falling.
Oh.
make no mistake. Whoever told you you're floating is full of shit. Until you open a parachute, you're not floating. You're falling.
You're falling.
And you're falling fast. So I don't know who told you that, but they're a damn liar.
That's why I didn't jump, because I knew I'd be falling fast.
Yeah, you are falling fast.
And I thought when I skimboarded, it was only about a half inch off the ground. If I fall, it's not that far. And then I'm like, well, why am I jumping out of a plane? Because that's far.
That's far.
Exactly. Yeah. Not doing, but it hasn't stopped. You've been skiing and you still do everything you love to do. Yeah.
I still do it.
Nothing's going to stop you.
Nope.
Nope. Of course not. Well, I have to ask you the same 10 questions because
they're
just too much fun. I know. Now, Chris, you get to listen. You're not in the hot seat. But you see, now this is easy because you've already heard him.
No, because I didn't know what I was going to answer when he was asking.
Oh, okay.
I didn't take notes.
Perfect. Perfect. Okay. So what is your favorite word?
Passion.
Ah, I love it. I love it. I love it.
We'll try to church it up.
I didn't say it was clean. I just said passion.
He did not specify what
kind.
There's so many places to go with this.
Right. That's what I like about that word.
Fair enough.
So contrary to that, then, what is your least favorite word?
Try.
Yeah.
It's got to be try.
Of course it's try. Of course it's try. Yes, that's a big word in our world is never to use the T word because you either do or you do not do. Right.
Right.
Awesome. So what turns you on creatively, spiritually, or emotionally?
Connecting and collaborating with people, whether it's with my kids, when there's a connection, whether it's with my staff. I like to think I work hard to connect with my staff on a personal and professional level. And my big thing is when it drives me crazy is people say, don't make business personal. Are you kidding me? Make it personal.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Make it personal because people buy off personal relationships.
Mm-hmm.
And trust me, when the business isn't going right, it just became personal.
Yep.
So make it personal from the beginning when it's going well.
Because
when you screw up their order, it's personal.
It's personal. It's definitely personal.
Right.
So what turns you off?
Turns me off is when I don't get to connect with people, when I don't, when I just throw in numbers at the board and, you know, and it's just, and there's no connection.
Yeah.
It's I don't like it.
It's just a deal.
It's just a deal.
Yeah. Got
no.
it.
No. That's why I'm out to dinner every tonight's with Gila River. I'm every night. I'm, every night this
it.
Week, I'm in a different state with a different crew.
He's working.
Make it.
It
personal.
Awesome. So what sound or noise do you love?
Kids laughing.
Yeah. Your kids laughing or any kids?
Any kids. Awesome. It's raw, it's real, it's authentic, and there's no judgments.
Love it. I love it. Mm-hmm. What sound or noise do you hate?
What sound do I hate? I guess the opposite of that would be crying.
Crying,
drives me
whining.
Crazy. Whining.
Right.
Stop whining.
Yes.
Life is not that bad.
Yes. Yes. Yes.
Whether it's my kids or people I know, stop whining.
Yeah, exactly. And if you were to choose a profession other than the one you have, what would you like to do?
Oh, okay. So, I got preface before I came here. Do not, if I ask you this question, do not tell the truth, but I'm going to tell the truth.
Wait,
you're purposely going against protocol?
Let me just preface this.
This is going to be a train wreck wrapped in a
dirty
taco.
He knew nothing about any of this. He didn't even know he was going to be on the show today. This was like a last minute, like, audible.
I just landed this morning.
Yeah. And it was like, you're going to love Chris. Chris is going to love you. Let's do this. He's like, okay. So I said, okay, if I ask you this one question, you just can't give your real answer because I know what your real answer is and it's just too embarrassing. But
If I look like Chris,
I gotta know now.
Well, if I look like Chris and I was as ripped as Chris, oh my God, I would totally be a Chippendale dancer. I want to grab the inside of these jeans and just rip them off. Magic Mike.
Oh, I didn't see that coming. I gotta be honest. I had a lot of stuff in my head. That wasn't
like,
one of
them. What are you doing during the day? Like, Gaddy's going to work tonight. That's right.
That's right.
That's right. That's right.
Got to stretch first.
Oh, yeah. My gosh. I told you you two would be fast friends. Oh,
that's
I told
awesome.
You. Oh my goodness. I can't believe it.
Look at Sam's diet.
I know. I can't believe we went there.
I can see that, dude.
But that's I love right. yeah. that we
oh,
went there.
Oh, why not? And that's hence my word passion.
Yeah, there you go.
There you go.
Now it all ties together.
Now it makes right? sense.
It I got it.
And no whining.
Together.
I'm going to get to the back of the room. Don't worry. No whining.
Oh, my gosh. Okay. Okay. I don't even. Oh, my God. We're all dying over here. Okay. So what profession would you not like to do?
Oh, what would I not like to do? And then I always say that. And I can't think of what. I just stuck behind a desk.
Yeah.
I just put me in a cubicle and shoot me.
Yeah.
I don't care what it is.
Yeah.
Put me in a cubicle, shoot me. No way.
Yeah. Not connecting with enough people and
no
making relationships.
Right.
Got it. So if heaven exists, what would you like to hear God say when you arrive at the pearly gates?
What would I like him to say or what will he say?
I don't know. Both, I guess.
What he really going to say is, really? Good idea, but didn't get to the back of the line.
That's right.
Get behind Sharpener.
That's right. I know you. You're
you
not supposed to
be a Chippendale
here.
Dancer. Get out of here, bro.
You made some bad decisions, Patrice. Right. Bad decisions. Oh, my goodness. Well, now I have a question for both of you.
Okay.
Okay, so we'll bounce back to Chris. Describe yourself in three words.
Honest, caring, committed.
I love it.
You know what's funny?
That's actually
my mission statement on the back of my card. I just thought about that.
That's really?
That's actually the mission statement on the back of my card, but it's so true.
So you.
Yeah.
So you. Yeah. How about you, Dean?
Passionate.
Yeah.
Driven.
Mm-hmm.
And fun.
Those are perfect. Those are so perfect for both of you. I can't even tell you. And thank you both. This has been so much fun. And what a way to, you know, just get the day going over here. I love it. Chris, if people want to learn more about you and your business, where can they find you?
Cleaning a toilet.
Not
just
literally.
Not his own.
Yeah, not his own.
Just not my own. No, you can learn more about my company, www.cnjprofessionalcleaningservices.com.
Awesome.
Or hey, if you want to reach out to me, I'm approachable anytime, 480-993-7263. That's right. I gave up my phone number.
Nice.
That's right. You need something, call me. I'll take care of you. You want to call and just say hi, which nobody does anymore except for me. Give me a call.
Oh my gosh. Another thing, you guys are both phone people.
Yeah.
Dean talks about that all the time.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Just call and say hi. I don't want anything.
Right.
Yep.
I'm going to call you. Did you get my text?
Right.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Oh my gosh. And for you, Dean, if people want to learn more about Power Promotions, how can they learn more?
Call Chris and he'll get hold of me. No, the website, powerpromotionsllc.com.
Powerpromotionsllc.com. Mm-hmm. Perfect. One final question, because we have to end with giving us the true leadership lowdown. What is one tip that each of you would give business leaders today? We'll start with you, Chris.
Ooh. I would probably tell any business leader, you know, and this advice goes for anybody, stay humble.
I love it.
Just stay humble.
Yeah. You start with sit down and then be humble?
Or? Yeah. Yes, I'll start with sit down. I do a little Kendrick Lamar. Stay humble.
Stay
absolutely.
Humble. Yeah. I love it. And that you are, my friend. How about you, Dean?
I mean, that is a good one. And just... like Chris's story, pay people what they're worth. Don't be afraid to pay people no one ever lost their business because they were overpaying their salespeople or paying good people to do good things.
Yep.
That is not why your business failed. You were underpaying people and they left, or that you weren't paying the right people good money and they left. Yep. That's why the business failed, not from overpaying people. Right. Pay people what they're worth.
What they're worth. Awesome.
Yeah.
Well, thank you both again so much for our conversation today. I know our listeners took some great information, some great nuggets. I'm sure that they can apply to their lives moving forward. And I thank you both for being so authentic, so real, and just for sharing with us today. You've been listening to The Leadership Lowdown, hosted by Jody Lowe and powered by You and Improved. And if you're not familiar with You and Improved, we align company's purpose with its people. Through our experiential leadership development classes, we teach people how to build teams, how to bridge communication, create trust and accountability, which essentially leads to higher retention and more profitability. So if you want to learn more, you can visit us at youandimproved.com, spelled with the letter U, the word and, improved.com. Thank you both again so, so much for being here. Thank you to our listeners.
Thank you.
Look forward to talking to you next time.